The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
I got to tell you, every time I listen to this song, and I've been listening to it for over 20 years, that every time I hear it, there's something else that jumps out at me. In this particular one, the reference to we're on our way down. We were on our way down when Steve Voss recorded this song so many years ago. Over the 22 and a half years I've been on the air, I've watched this nation do exactly the opposite of what I believe it should be doing. We see the manipulation going on with all of our politicians, all of whom are controlled by corporatocracy, each and every one of which is costing you and I the American dream, costing us our hard-earned money. And that's for those of us in this country who are privileged to still be working and still having the advantage to doing something for their families and supporting their families. I keep seeing reports that the unemployment figures are the best they've been in so many years. They still do not address the underemployed. They still do not address those who no longer seem to have the ability nor the desire to even keep on looking for work. So much work has gone to illegals. So much has gone to others that are being brought to this nation under nebulous different visas, HB1s and 2s, and they come over as doctors and nurses, and there's teachers. And we wonder why this nation is in such deep crap. I just want to be able to make sure that my family has got a roof over their head, that they're comfortable. If I had my druthers, I'd be living back in the country. I'd be providing some of the victuals that go on the table at night. Some of you are fortunate enough to be able to do that. My mistake years ago was getting out of the country and moving back to the city. Good evening. Welcome to a Thursday night installment of Protecting Your Wealth. I am your host for the next hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You're listening to us live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Strange day in the markets. U.S. stocks ended mostly higher today as a fusillade of better-than-expected corporate results helped to reinvigorate Wall Street buying appetite, a day after the S&P 500 and the Dow posted their biggest drops in more than 7 weeks. House of Representatives passed a budget blueprint, paving the way for the Senate to eventually pass a tax reform package by a simple majority. Some analysts view passage of a tax cut package as critical to extending the stock market rally, but we've got a couple of comments on the tax situation here a little bit later. You're going to be shocked. So what did the stocks do today? Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 71.4 points. To end at 23,400 points. S&P 500 gained 3.25 to end their session at 2560. The NASDAQ composite edged down slightly. They closed at 6556. Now, NASDAQ was buffeted by some weakness in biotechnology sector. Also weighed in on the overall healthcare group. Oh, speaking of healthcare groups, CVS drugstore, or pharmacy as it were, apparently is making a major pitch to attempt to buy out Aetna, big healthcare provider. That's a little interesting, isn't that, you know, like I don't know what the proper terminology is. I can't worry about it right now. So let's see. They want to buy a healthcare provider, and they'll ensure that they're going to be able to provide the necessary drugs to those to fill their prescriptions. Is that the game? Is that what they do? Well, apparently so. Not good. One of the headlines says that Amazon, Google, and Microsoft and Intel find billions more dollars in profit. Where does Google, what does Google profit from? I guess I must not be fully aware of what Google does. You know, they obviously must be more than a search engine. Precious metals markets got kind of hit today. I'm glad. I've got clients that are sitting tight waiting for this to happen. And it's happened. Rhodium flat at $1,325 an ounce. Palladium down $2 today at $958. Platinum holding steady at $915, exactly where it was 2 days ago. Silver off in the aftermarket, 2 cents, currently at $16.75. That's actually down about 50, 60 cents from where it was on Tuesday. Gold is down $1,266. But one has to remember, silver is money. Gold is collateral. You can't back your currency with silver because they tried that and the bank vaults were stuffed with Morgans to the rafters. Well, but you see, I don't care about folding money. I'd rather bank my currency with Morgans or Pieces or Sovereigns or American Eagles or something of that nature. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later in the program. Aye, the treasure chest is loaded, me hearties. And we've got some interesting things to talk to you about here tonight. So what else is going on in this world? Boy, this is a marvelous story. We've already been talking this year about major problems in the automobile industry, the overstock of cars, new cars, the massive number of cars that have come back off of leases that are flooding the used car markets and the dealerships. And it's driving down the values of all these cars. And the manufacturers are having to do some very unique things to move product. I mean, this is October. Typically, the new models come out in September. Did the new models come out in September? Or are they getting waylaid until they can get rid of some of the old models? Well, now there's a new subprime auto loan program, as if they don't have enough problems in the subprime auto loan program. But this one has been designed specifically for refugees. If ever there was a doubt that auto sales have been pushed to the absolute max in this iteration of the industry's debt-fueled bubble, then consider the following program specifically designed to underwrite subprime auto loans to refugees who have recently arrived in this country. They have absolutely no credit history or record of any kind. Oh. So we got to be concerned. See, the struggle of low-income immigrant families that's looking to move up, it's hard as it is. That according to Kasra Movededi, director of the Center for Economic Opportunity. If you also then have low credit, it just becomes that much harder in 100 small and not so noticeable ways. Unfortunately, these are the people that can afford the least. If they can afford the least, why are they being able to drive away with new cars? Look, the struggle is similar to other low-income families coping with low credit scores. And she goes on to say it has to start with one recognizing the importance of a vehicle to a family's financial stability and solvency. The vehicle allows you to earn an income. In the absence of that, people are going to have a really hard time making money. There's four offices in the country right now: San Diego, Oakland, Phoenix, and Salt Lake City. Phoenix. Oh, that means we got more illegals coming up from Mexico that are going to get to qualify for auto loans. New, used. You know what's terrible? The interest rates that they are being quoted are half of what the current subprime interest rate is. Something is horribly wrong here. You and I are working, trying to bust our butt, trying to get jobs, trying to pay our bills, and these refugees, etc., come into this country and get treated with preferential treatment. And a lot of them are the same ones that are getting their education paid for by you and I. Good God. When does it end? Where do all of these people get such bloody... No wonder they want to come here. They get it all for free. I pay for my cruise with my EBT card. That's going to be my mantra from this point forward. Maybe this is what I need to do. I need to go to all the banks, the lending institutions. I can't give up my car. Don't repossess my car. Not that I'm in threat of that, but that's not the point. The point is the argument. Don't repossess my car. I know I'm a couple payments late, but if I don't have a car, I can't get out and try to apply for new jobs. And if I do get one, I can't drive to that job. So you got to work with me. Can't you turn around and refinance my car at the same kind of rate you're giving refugees? I've been here all my life. I was born here, raised here, just like most of you. And I've paid into this tax system to the point I want to vomit. They give us no choice in social insecurity. They give us no choice in anything. But refugees come in here, get plopped in various places around the country, and all of a sudden they're treated like frickin' royalty. They've never paid a damn penny into it, but boy, they're going to get the bennies. And get this one. So let's see. If I were to go to the banks and the lending institutions and the credit card companies and beg for help and assistance, because after all, well, wait a minute. No, I got it. Let's go sue. Let's go sue because I am being profiled. I am being discriminated against because I've paid my bills and I've got a high credit score and I've done the right thing and done all the things you're supposed to do all your life. And not rely on other people. I've not relied on other people. I've not stood there and asked for the handouts. Now, don't be upset if you've been accepting some handouts. No, Social Security is not a handout. Medicare is not a handout. We've paid into all of that stuff. We're kind of getting just our just rewards back, as it were. I don't know about rewards. And there's been times when a family has been forced to survive on food stamps or some unemployment benefits and things of that nature. Maybe some housing assistance to a certain period of time. But it's these people that make a decision to do this their entire life and live and exist off of it. You got these Black Lives Matter people that are screaming that all whites should give up their homes and give it to them. Tell you what I'm going to do, bucko. I'll be glad to do that. But from you and your family, I want the financial equivalent paid to us first of every stinking tax dollar you people have cost me to support you. And to raise your kids and to educate them and to give them free health care, free housing assistance, and free everything. We talked about this the other day. So many years ago, unemployment had a 6-month cap on it, and after that, it was it. You were on your own. We have to go back to those days. But now, if they're going to give specialized loans for automobiles to... what do we call these people? I can't even remember now. What the heck are these people called? Oh, refugees. Well, at what point in time do they get special mortgage rates to be able to buy a house in nowhere, Tennessee? I'll tell you what. I've spent the last 6 months just looking at some property in Tennessee. And I happen to be looking at a particular community that is of interest to me. It's probably an hour outside of Nashville. And an awful lot of house for some pretty darn cheap money. But I'm beginning to see why that particular area was dumped on with Somali refugees. And they're picking these houses up cheap. Where are they getting the mortgages for it? Where are they getting the downstroke for it? Or are they just getting housing assistance so they get to rent these places? I'm not saying these are bad people. But these are decisions that are being made that do nothing more than invite other refugees to come here. Oh, if my cousin can get these freebies in America, I wish to go there too. I could change the accent, but the mindset would be the same. Now we talk about Trump's, it's not Trump's, but this new tax package they're putting together. Oh boy, it's just going to be great. Yeah, right, just like Ethel Merman. Things are great, things are swell, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, not thing, everything isn't coming up roses, okay? So they want to give us tax breaks, tax protections. Well, it all sells well to the rubes, but I don't think I'm a rube. And I think most of you who listen to this network are not rubes either. You get it. Trump has got this chief economic advisor. His name is Gary Cohn, C-O-H-N, or Cohn. But I like the pronunciation of Cohn. It's probably Constein, but that's another story. But it reminds me of the advent of the first, let's call it paper currency. It was an IOU. Back in the day, so many years ago, and somewhere in my files, I have the story. And I think it's time for me to pull it out and share it with you. You got merchants, traveling salespeople, as it were, that are crossing the deserts and stopping at the oasis, and they're riding on camels and horses and donkeys, etc., etc. And all their worldly possessions are comprised of jewels and gold and silver. This is a true story. And to cross those deserts with all of your worldly wealth with you opens you up to some real problems. Beatings, death, robbery, etc., etc. So this guy, who I can't remember if it was Genghis Khan or Kublai Khan, one of the Khans basically came up with, in effect, the first banking system. And he comes along and says, tell you what we're going to do, boobies. You deposit your gold and your silver with one of my safe havens. We'll issue you an IOU. And when you get across the desert to the next community, the next city, whatever, you go into one of the other member things, and you can cash your IOU in for all or a part of your holdings. There'll be a small price to secure your funds, you know, the interest, we call it. I guess that would be the first banking system, huh? Now think about that. Oh. A con job, that's right. Okay, so Trump's got this economic advisor named Gary Cohn. He's now floated the idea of raising the current federal gasoline tax next year. That's 2 months away. To fund the administration's $1 trillion infrastructure plan aimed at improving U.S. roads, bridges, and other public works. The idea was proposed during a meeting with a bipartisan group of lawmakers, dubbed the Problem Solvers Caucus, on Wednesday. And while proposals to raise the gasoline tax have surfaced over the years, the tax has not been raised since 1993. Revenue from the federal per-gallon taxes of 18.4 cents on a gallon and 24.4 cents on diesel has declined due to the inflationary mugging of purchasing power and a market-driven desire for better fuel mileage of passenger vehicles, which has increased 12%, by the way. Trump has also floated the idea of raising the federal gas tax earlier this year, but it received a rather cold reaction from the House Ways and Means Chairman, Kevin Brady, who said that he would rule out raising the tax. Well, wow, go to California. Jerry Brown's jacked that gasoline tax up. Hey, psht, you know. California, what do they got, a $30 a carton tax on cigarettes? So when confronted with this idea on Wednesday, Brady said his focus was elsewhere. I'm going to stay focused on tax reform right now. Of course, the tax hike has sparked the interest of Mike Simpson, a Republican from Idaho, who said that he would support the effort to tweak up the price of gasoline. It's a user fee. We've got to convince people that the money goes to roads and bridges and not all the other bull. Yeah, well, you got a lot of convincing to do, pal, because we know that a large percentage of that money goes to the salaries of the people who were supposed to be overlooking getting the roads and the bridges rebuilt. In August, Trump rolled out an executive order aimed at speeding up approvals for infrastructure projects that decrease the environmental permitting process for complex highway projects, ensured that a single agency would serve as the point of contact for each project's paperwork. The order also axed Obama-era flood standard that would have required federally funded projects to be built to withstand the stronger storms that the former administration said would come with a warming planet. Oh, goody, goody. Here we go with the global warming stuff again. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's one of the commentators said, well, I'm sure all the gas tax will go only towards infrastructure improvements, maintenance, because government is so great with their fiduciary responsibilities. One guy says, how about abolishing income and corporate taxes, then talk about consumption taxes? Another person says, remember, folks, when the banks need money for the MIL, needs money, then spigots open, the presses run. When the nation and her people need money, well, we can't afford a tax cut and, in fact, need to raise taxes. Trillions of Zionist wars, but not a for you or your kids. America, oh, yeah, screw y'all. Gas tax? Doesn't that fall on the middle and lower classes? How about a luxury car tax? How about a yacht tax? How about gearing fines and penalties to income? How about reducing the footprint of government? Plenty of taxes already paid. The comments go on and on. I find when I'm sharing or reading columns by a wide range of people, I become extremely drawn to the comments left by readers. They're far more pointed. One guy says, how about no taxes? Cancer only grows if you feed it. Starve the government out of funds and it will die on its own. Very interesting. Unreal. Next. Before I go on the air each day, I write a little synopsis of what will be covered in the program or what we expect to cover. So far, I've met my mark. But this is something that's meant to be posted at the RBN.org website, which tells our listeners, if they were missed the program today, and I've got a lady I'm talking with that said she was going to miss the program today, but she would get it later tonight or in the morning whenever it reruns. And in today's synopsis, this is what I sent in to the producer. Daily market report, subprime auto loans, a new market. And who's on the hook? Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll wind up paying for that. Raising your gas taxes to build a bridge? Truth is, you can't handle the truth and you don't care. And that is what we're facing. You see, in this nation today, everything must be dumbed down to the lowest common denominator of readers or viewers. Any news must be superficial. It must be short. Most content must have an entertainment or a gossip value. Remember when we were growing up, television was still relatively in its infancy. We're talking 50s. And the nightly news was 15 minutes. They got in, got the news covered, you moved on. And then they started doing 15 minutes of local and 15 minutes with the national. Then it went a half hour. Then it's an hour. Now the news starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and isn't over till 7 o'clock at night. And it's the same garbage over and over and over. Things look swell. Things look grand. Today, we live in an age of instant gratification. Viewers or listeners' interest can only be kept by short, superficial language. Lots of big images, constant change of focus, which has led to most people either becoming ignorant or misinformed. No one's really interested in the truth. But nevertheless, my friends, this is what we attempt to share with you each and every day on this network. You see, the beauty of not educating people is that it is much easier for the politicians and the powers that be to use propaganda and manipulate them. Nowhere is this more obvious than in the financial world. We have, in the past 100 years, since the Fed was created, experienced the worst possible destruction of money without anyone even being aware.
Well, my great-granddaddy had a $5 bill that said $5 on it. Well, I got me one that's got Lincoln's picture, and it still says $5.
Yeah, well, it ain't the same $5, pal. You see, for most people, all of this has involved a destruction of savings and pensions and a massive accumulation of debt, both individual and governmental. But for the creators of this system, the beauty is that it has been done so elegantly that very few people are even aware of it. The problem is also that governments never publish honest figures. All statistics are manipulated in order to hide the truth or to sell a story. Official inflation figures are always below the real inflation rate. And this is done to hide the mismanagement of the economy, to save on index payments like Social Security and pensions. How many years during the Obama administration did Social Security recipients not even get an increase? And yet it was costing us more at the grocery store. And in many cases, for a long time, it was costing us more to put gasoline in the car to be able to get to the grocery store or to work or whatever. And the government to this day is telling us that inflation is only about 2%. Let me share with you a truthism. The current real inflation is about 10%. John Williams over at Shadow Government Statistics helps us to find the truth. I start looking at graphs and charts of real inflation circulation. Dating back to 1981. Oh, real inflation has been well above the official figure since the early 1980s. More on this when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Oh, that sounds like Metallica to me. Welcome back. Clint Eastwood will be the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Nino, what's his name's phenomenal piece of music? We mentioned before the break, the government tells us that inflation is about 2%. The reality is real inflation, as we mentioned, is currently just below 10%, which is 8% above the official figure of 2. But naturally, no journalist or analyst would ever bother to study the real figures. It's real simple. Purchasing power has declined by about 97%. Few Americans are aware that their real purchasing power has declined that much since the illustrious day on August the 15th of 1971, when, you know, all these typical financial prestidigitators want to tell us Nixon sold the U.S. down the drain. Nixon had to protect our gold. But it's a mixed bag situation. So now it's only a matter of time before the dollar goes to zero. But I want you to think about something. We talk about the dollar declining by 97% since August of 1971. How about 97% since before the advent of the Federal Reserve, before Roosevelt grabbed the gold in 33? Got to close that door, please. It's real simple. A dollar today buys less than 2 cents of what it purchased back in the over 100 years ago. But since 1971, money printing and credit expansion has grown exponentially. But the average American ain't got a clue because the media never discusses irrelevant matters like the destruction of the U.S. currency, the economy. Oh, no, it's far more important to follow what Justin Bieber is doing or who Trump's team talked to before the election. Hey, let's not forget Harvey Weinstein checked himself out of sex rehabilitation. So what are we facing? Hyperinflation? What is guaranteed is that the final stages will involve massive money printing, leading ultimately to hyperinflation. It is the only remedy left to a bankrupt nation which has not had a real budget surplus for about 60 years. The coming hyperinflation might not be as high as what occurred in the Weimar Republic or what continues to go on in Zimbabwe. But even if gold goes up just to the inflation-adjusted level since the 1980 high, today, an ounce of gold would be going for about $15,500. That's not because gold has gone up or gone down. It's because the dollar has continued to tank in what it will buy. Global debt has gone up exponentially in the last 2 to 3 decades, and none of this debt can ever be repaid with what you and I call real money. If we include derivatives, unfunded liabilities, we're looking at a global debt level of $2.5 quadrillion. That is 35 times what the global domestic product is. That's an astronomical figure that is guaranteed to lead to catastrophe. You see, it's simple. The U.S. is now on the verge of economic, political, and military collapse. Based on history, most countries in that situation will start a war. Let's hope that this does not involve a major nuclear conflict, the consequences of which will be disastrous for the world. But I guess if that were to happen, well, we're not going to have to worry about what the money's worth. Screwball, one of the commentators, said the collapse is imminent. And even if Trump were able to bring more legitimate, good-paying jobs to the U.S., it would eventually fail because the infrastructure of this country is so dilapidated. It would take so much money to fix and build that the wages paid with these jobs would not be worth much in buying power. The bombing of other countries into submission to keep the petrodollar afloat is now failing thanks to Russia and North Korea, among others. This is why the state-run media keeps telling us how evil Kim Jong-un and Assad are and how evil Russia is. Proxy wars are failing, and the USA deep state knows that direct military confrontation with non-conforming political units is now our only hope. But how do we lure them into war without starting it ourselves? War may appear to be their only option. Unbelievable. A comment of that type is somewhat of a sidetrack from what we're talking about, but needs to be discussed. And now on to our next arena. There may be one area we may not have time to get into tonight. It's an important one. So the question I ask you, however, is the bubble economy set to burst? Our friend John Malden, and I say friend not because I know him personally, because Malden is one of those few financial commentators that, in my opinion, is worth listening to. Forget Jim Rickards. He's an idiot. He talks about his friend Andy Z, who's based in Shanghai, very independent-minded investment analyst and economist, PhD from MIT. He's been at the IMF, was a star economist for the Morgan Stanley Asia-Pacific Group. He oft-time bearish calls on various parts of the Chinese economy have elicited a lot of criticism from the Chinese officials and retail investors. Gee, I wonder why. Because he's talking truth and they never want to acknowledge it, just like we do in this country? Malden says he's been on the stage with Andy many, many times, both on the same side of debates and other times on opposite sides. We got one thing in common. While we may be often wrong, we are seldom in doubt, certainly not afraid of letting others know what we think in a very forceful manner. Recently, Andy posted an essay in the South China Morning Post where he said, the bubble economy is set to burst. U.S. elections may well be the trigger. Malden says, I find that interesting. Here I am looking at the problems in China as potentially triggering global problems, and he's looking at elections in the U.S. And Andy says of himself he has a reasonably good record at calling bubbles. And he says, I wrote my doctoral thesis arguing that Japan was a bubble in the late 1980s, a long report at the World Bank in the early 1900s, arguing that Southeast Asia was a bubble. Research noted at Morgan Stanley in 1999, calling the dot-com boom a bubble. Numerous research notes from 03 onwards arguing that the U.S. property market was a bubble. And we know what happened to that. On the other hand, Andy says, I've never called something a bubble that turned out not to be one. Andy tends to look at what he thinks is the cause of current bubbles that he sees around the world. Central bank intervention is the primary one. I find it fascinating that Yellen and crew are puzzled at the lack of inflation in their CPI measure, but don't see a problem with inflation in asset prices. In fact, they see rising home prices and nosebleed high stock prices as good things. And are quite proud of having fostered them. The fact that they came along with credit bubbles around the globe fostered by ultra-low rates is something they're all willing to ignore. Malden continues, I know that Trump is going to be appointing a new Fed chair and Fed governors. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I read a piece today that is of the opinion that Trump is just going to give up the ghost and reappoint Janet Yellen to continue holding up the Fed. Malden continues, I've got to tell you, though, there's simply not enough money to make me want to sit around that table and be responsible for cleaning up the mess that the present denizens have created. I think the FOMC is going to find itself in a situation where they have no good choices and probably not even merely difficult ones. But they will be forced, or at least feel like they're forced, to do something. And that something is going to once again take the form of lower rates, more quantitative easing, and maybe even a few little innovations like negative rates, and asking Trump and Congress for permission to shift out of their norm. We can only buy government-backed assets, that kind of a mode. Much as the Bank of Japan, the ECB, the Swiss National Bank have done. And by the way, the Swiss National Bank owns almost 2% of Apple. How much more do they have to buy before they want a board seat? That's a joke, but it does take 66 pages to print a list of all the stocks the SNB owns. That's quite interesting. I go along with what Malden said. I'm more convinced than ever we are rapidly moving into a world where the unthinkable, and I mean truly unthinkable, is going to be not only thought about but acted upon. Damn the torpedoes and all that stuff. I think you will, well, it's simple. We've got a couple of choices. We've got a couple of choices of things that we can do. Time will prevent us from sharing with you Andy's complete commentary, which was posted, published several weeks ago. I will post it later this evening at kettlemarinepreciousmetals.com. And I hope that you will pay attention to it. Many nights, because of time consensus, I'll go on that website, kettlemarinepreciousmetals.com, and I will post a series of headlines with links to where they were posted. Some of these are too important. If I get enough of them, I may do that same thing. Spend time doing it. It's not to drive you off of our site. It's to get as much information out in front of you as we possibly can. But let me share this with you. And it's from a man that I do know quite well. And he states, currently investors love the stock markets around the world, and why shouldn't they? Everyone's making so damn much money that their greed prevents them from looking at the risk. And for investors who don't worry about risk, the current period is absolute heaven. Stocks, bonds, property, Bitcoin just goes up and up and up. You just can't lose. Whatever investors touch today turns to gold, but it ain't real gold. The winnings today are fake gold in the form of inflated and heavily leveraged paper assets. And like all bubbles, this can continue further, but whenever it turns, we're not far from that point. The move in the opposite direction will be so fast that it will be impossible to get out. And very much like the past 30 years, investors will be certain that central banks will save them. But this time, it really will be different, because the next round of trillions or quadruples of paper money will only have a very short-lived effect. At last, the world will understand that printed pieces of paper that governments call money are truly worthless. The coming collapse in all bubble asset markets will therefore be greater than the 80% fail of the NASDAQ in the early 2000s and greater than the 90% fall of the Dow in the 1930s. Most investors will laugh at this in disbelief. We'll stick around and see who's got the last laugh. I want you to be amongst those who have the last laugh. The NASDAQ is up 5 times since 2000. Investors are oblivious of risk. Silver, on the other hand, is down 65% since 2011. Now, I've got charts in front of me that I can't show you right now that shows the silver NASDAQ spread. Silver has crashed against the NASDAQ since 2011. It's down to the 2001 level when the silver price was $4. Now, we're talking about adjusted for inflation. That spread is likely to have bottomed. The next move should be back to the 2011 high. We're talking about a 450% upward move in silver expected. You see, wealth preservation investors should, of course, not go short NASDAQ, because that bubble can get bigger. But if you get out of stocks and buy silver, you're likely to avoid the most massive wealth destruction in the next few years. I'm not telling you get every dime you can put your fingers on and stick it in silver. Silver is heavy. It's bulky. Takes up a lot of space. And you see, this is the problem I find with most people writing in the economic world. They strictly address gold and silver, to some degree platinum, in terms of a typical Wall Street mindset of investment. Invest X numbers of dollars of money in gold and in silver, and look how much money you're going to get to make on the other end. The question is, will that dollar amount at the other end allow you to buy as much as you can buy today with this questionably valued money? I submit to you that historically, gold and silver have proven that they will do that. As we mentioned to you earlier, or maybe I didn't recommend it today, I didn't maybe reference it today, but keep in mind, you buy gold to hold, you buy silver to sell, meaning silver will provide you, as a rule, enough profit that you'll be able to buy your food, your gasoline, pay your heating bill, pay your rent or your mortgage bill. Gold is just something that you buy and put away for security. I don't know. Maybe the answer to all of this is to hang the bankers and keep hanging them until they create a tolerable system. Oh, these bankers are so savvy, I'm sure they could come up with one, but a couple of thousand twists in the wind until that time, be safe, be secure, and, well,
I get a bit of silver, me hearties.
A couple of weeks ago, we came on the air with an offer for our listeners that was extremely well received. I love old silver dollars. I love some of the highly collectible pieces, but I, many years ago, stopped owning any of them. I sold them off because I want something that's going to provide me with not necessarily wealth insurance, but comfort insurance, survival insurance. And included in those are gold and silver. I make no doubt about it. Over the years, so many things have changed in this industry, and part of it is my own mindset, is that this whole mentality of trying to sell people certified MS-63 and 64 anything is, it's got a great story that goes with it, but it's a story that's been made up and manufactured by so-called rare coin dealers because they make 30-40% on every single sale. I have a gentleman that comes to me 3 times a year. He fortunately bought his MS-64 $20 Liberties, all MS or PCGS and NGC certified. Bought them many, many years ago when they were super cheap. But over the last few years, because he's now retired, his wife is now deceased, he's got bills to pay, he's been liquidating some six or seven pieces every 3-4 months to cover his needs and his expenses. I've got a gentleman who is now retired and living in the UK with his wife, who had a very sizable self-directed individual retirement account with me that predominantly held all silver. And because she now has cancer, he's being forced to liquidate several times a year. You see, the point is if they had not put their money in silver, if they had not put their money in gold, they would not have, if they'd left it in cash, they'd have spent it by now. But because they chose to put it in gold and silver, it's now there for them when they need it in the rainy days. But the key is, as the story I told you several months ago, a client came to me many years ago who had acquired some MS-64 $20 Liberties from a female broadcaster who made a lot of money on him. And from the time he bought them to the time he needed to sell them, gold had gone up $400 an ounce, and yet this man was still 30% in the hole of what he had paid for them. Something is grossly wrong there. So a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, we came on offering some brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. We did very, very well. Most of the time when I'm offering silver to clients, it's American Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, Vienna Philharmonics, or newly minted 1 ounce 999 fine silver rounds. Everyone serves a purpose. It doesn't hurt to have a mix of all of them for one reason or another. If you just came to me and said, I just want to buy as much silver as I can for the money, I got to be honest. I'll give you a price on Silver Eagles, but I'll also give you a price on 1 ounce silver rounds minted by the same company that mints the blank discs that the U.S. Mint strikes the silver American Eagle out of, with the same efficacy, the same quality, the same hardness, everything. Generally for $2.25 less than what you'll pay for an American Eagle. And in troubled economic times, nobody's going to care that you've got an Eagle. They're not going to pay you an extra buck, $2-3 more than a 1 ounce silver round that's recognizable and clearly readable. So that's the fast and the furious of it. But let's take a look at what we've got available for you tonight. I still love old silver dollars. This one came to me absolutely as a drop out of nowhere. As I was talking to a client on the air today, or on the phone, this email came in from one of my suppliers. Now, it happens to be the same one we got the peace dollars from. He has made an acquisition of a full bag of brilliant uncirculated Morgan silver dollars. Now, they have the same size, the same weight, the same purity, the same net silver content that a peace dollar did, but because Morgan dollars are more desirable by the average collector or holder, they cost more money. What was it, $490 a roll for the peace dollars? The same thing in these Morgan dollars is going to run $540 a roll. We've got exactly 50 rolls available. That's it. When that 50 rolls are gone, this deal is done. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. You want to call me and order 10 rolls? I'll take care of you. You want to order a single roll? I will take care of you. There are no minimums, no maximums. I'm not going to turn down doing business with a listener to this network. When I came back, John said, well, we need to look at this and look at that. I said, John, I will never turn down doing business with a listener. Because number one, they are helping the network. Number two, they're helping to do their best to take care of their family. There is a flat $20 per order shipping and handling cost. Okay? You order one roll, 10 rolls, 20 rolls. You want to call up. One guy calls up and orders the entire bag, the 50 rolls, he's going to still pay a flat $20 shipping. I currently have this ad posted at the top of KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. If you can't spell all of that out, go to RBN.org. And I can't remember if it's RBN.org or if it's spelled out RepublicBroadcasting.org. Mike, if you could pop that up on the on the chat for me. I'd appreciate that. But there is a small banner ad. And if you click on that banner ad, it'll take you directly to Kettle Marine Precious Metals. Our phone number is listed there down in the right-hand column. It says contact us. Our address is there, our email. It is listed as republicbroadcasting.org. If you go there, you will find a banner ad that will link you directly to us. And at the very top of the page right now is the complete breakdown of what this is. It's called 1026-17 from the treasure chest. And some of you with as twisted a mind as I have will love the picture I have to draw you in. It's a picture of a beautiful pirate lady standing there with a treasure chest on the floor poured over with gold coins pouring out of it. Take advantage of this. It is a marvelous offer. This is the first time I've been able to offer brilliant uncirculated peace dollars for as close, as tight of a range above peace dollars as I have. That's highly unusual. Normally, we'd be looking at $600, $700, $800, maybe $900 for a roll of specific dates in Morgan dollars. We were at $490 2 weeks ago for peace. We're only $50 higher than that for a roll of 20 coins coming out of this with the Morgan silver dollars. Give us a call, 623-327-1778. You can also send me an email. Sometimes it's not always easy to get through to us. And sometimes the email can be quicker. And the banner in the middle of the page at the top is home to me. Okay, that's cool. Good. So, you know, take advantage of this. Try to come to the site every day just to keep up on financial news. I know that when I get on the air, I'm talking very fast. I've got less than an hour to get a very intense, large amount of information out to you. So you get a distinct idea of what we're facing and why and how. Government ain't going to solve our problems. They can talk about lowering our taxes all they want. But that's all it is, my friends. It's talk. Talk is cheap. Unfortunately, living is no longer cheap. What's it going to be 10, 20 years from now? Morgan silver dollars. They're one of the ways you can help ensure that you are going to have the ability to feed your family, to buy enough gas to get out of town and get out of the way of the hurricanes and the tornadoes or whatever the case may happen to be. These are the things that we do. These are the things that I've continued to do for over six decades for myself and for my family. We are out of time. You guys take care of yourselves. I'll see you next Tuesday with another installment of Protecting Your Wealth. Give us a call tonight. Take advantage of this offering. It's a darn good one. If you've been wanting to hold some Morgan dollars to pass on to your kids, hey, Christmas is coming. The goose ain't too fat. Get your kids and grandkids taken care of. That's amongst the things we do. Have a good evening. Stick around. Much more on RBN tonight. Take care.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.